B-Pod Studios.
Jeff!
Anthony, what's up?
My apologies, brother. I didn't know you were already there.
Nah, no worries.
I was like musing about. What's your favorite sport? I mean, football you cover, but what's the sport that you love? That you go like, this is just me. I love this sport. I want to relax and watch a game.
Probably baseball has been my first love.
That's awesome.
And, you know, my kids play it, so I love watching them more than any other team or sport. So, and they play other sports.
How old are they?
14, about to be 13 and 9.
Oh, that's awesome. And they're playing? That's great.
Yeah, they all play. They love it.
Where do they play that? What's that township?
We live in Glenside, so they've grown up playing for GYAC, but you know, my oldest plays in a tournament team, and
nice.
You know, and the other one, you know, they play for the
doing a Cal Ripken thing. Yeah, that's great.
Well, they play for it's more like tournaments. You travel a lot, states and that kind of stuff, and but they do play in the Cal Ripken league.
Yeah, that's fantastic, dude. That's awesome. There's nothing better. I got my little both my kids are playing. It's you know what, dude? You know it's great. So they play all sports. My little one is my big one, Anthony's 10, and he's a beast. He's really tall. He's really big. The little one is 7, and he's a great athlete. And he says, yesterday I'm driving them to school. They go, the little one goes, Daddy, can I play football, tackle football? Because they were playing the flag. And I give him that, you know, we'll see, yeah, you know, type of thing. Uh-huh. And the big one goes, Daddy, I really want to play tackle football. And I was like, all right, you know, if you guys want to, you know.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, my oldest played tackle football. The other two are more soccer players, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
the best.
The younger one wants to play, and I'm like, because he's not as big as his other brother, so we'll see. But, you know, I mean.
When they're big enough, I go, all right, if you want to play, I'm not going to. Listen, I love it, and I'm happy, you know, but, you know, I'm trying not to give them, like, any biased stuff. But they love it all. I want them to play every sport because they're good baseball players, especially the little one.
Don't specialize.
Nah.
Having different sports, it does not help. They'll wear out the same muscles. They won't get the experience of playing another team sport.
I agree.
It doesn't, you know, it'll happen once they get to high school and beyond that. But don't.
Yeah, I want them to do some joy. Plus, I just want them to love the games like we love sports, you know?
Absolutely,
Yeah, that's it. To business, Jeff, couple things. So Jason Peters, it's amazing. We assume will not be an Eagle unless he can't make a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very unlikely that he's back. Clearly, the Eagles have made a decision that they're prepared to move on from him, allowing him to go into free agency. You know, from what I understand, and talking around the league and talking to Jason's agent, just getting, you know, the general feel for the situation, I think there will be suitors for Jason. Obviously, it'll come down to what he's willing to take. But, you know, you've got to also remember, this guy's 38. He's had a number of injuries. You know, I don't think the market's going to be robust. So maybe the Eagles left the door open for a possible return. But I mean, I think it's extremely unlikely, and I think they're ready to, you know, considering the expenditure they made in trading up for Andre Dillard. Very rarely do you see first round offensive linemen heading into their second seasons, and and Howie made a commitment that. This team needs to get younger, and this is certainly one way for them to kind of turn the page on that.
How do you think Jordan Mailata is doing? It's funny, we had a caller from Australia who was curious about what his role is with Peters gone. Does he move up a peg? Do that? Are they still looking at him as part of the future?
Right. You know, and, you know, you look at the offensive line group, Holly Puliavati Vaitai is also a free agent, and they're not going to bring him back. He'll get offers that they're not willing to match. So you'll need, let's say Dillard does slide in that left tackle spot, you're going to just swing tackle the sixth guy off the bench, sort of. And my guess is it would be Mailata at this point. They have some other guys on the roster that could possibly step into that role, but you know, they've been grooming Mailata now for 2 years. He essentially has been redshirted. He's had injuries that have placed him on IR, which has kind of in some ways restricted him from getting on the field and practicing as much as they would like. But, you know, for me, it's this, you know, it's now or never for him. I mean, he's got to, you know, they got to get him playing more and experiencing what it's like to be in a game, because aside from some a few preseason games, he hasn't really done much. He has the physical skills. Clearly, they wouldn't have drafted him, at that spot, the seventh round, had he not had those skills. But there were struggles. I mean, there were certainly struggles last training camp. He still has a lot to learn, and it takes time. It's not as easy as it looks, clearly.
Yeah, it's not. And he is. He's a tremendous athlete. I think that's what everybody's very curious about. If he can do it. What, you get any kind of early sense? Look, I know with free agency coming up and you know, everybody's talking about Byron Jones like it's a certainty. Is it? I mean, it's funny how things come up. Like, all of a sudden, Perryman's is a topic of conversation. Like, it's a foregone conclusion with him. What do you think's real and what do you think is not so far?
Well, with Byron Jones, I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion. He's the top, probably one of the top one or two cornerbacks on the market. And this guy, he plays a premium position. He's going to get paid. So there's going to be several teams that are going to be interested in him, and more, obviously, than that. But when it comes down to it, it ends up being just a few, just several teams that can kind of have the cash to do that and are willing to do that. So that narrows it down, but it's not like the Eagles can just go out there and write a blank check for this guy, you know? I mean, Howie's not going to do that. And really, it's been a long time since they've spent a lot on free agents. Now, he has said that they're willing to kind of spend, it seems like he's willing to spend a little more money than he has over the last several years, and that addresses a need. But you got to be careful. I mean, you don't want another Byron Maxwell situation. You don't want another Nnamdi Asamoah situation. I understand that may not be entirely fair to Byron Jones to compare him to those two guys. But, is he a shutdown corner? Is he worth being the highest paid cornerback in the league? I don't know. We got a little less than 2 weeks until the start of free agency. You know how it is. I mean, there's going to be so many rumors flown out there. Agents trying to build up the profiles of their players by telling reporters that such and such team is interested in their team. So you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff over the next 2 weeks about Eagles interested in this guy, Eagles interested in that guy. I mean, a lot of it's not real. Let's be clear. So,
and that's why I asked the question, because I think you can sift through some of the nonsense, and there is so much nonsense that gets pushed out there.
Right. It's true. And then only later do you find out, maybe they made a call, or maybe it was this or that. Maybe the agent allowed them to use them because they were trying to get a deal with the agent's other guy. You know, it's tough to sift through it. But certainly I do think that Eagles they're going to make some moves in free agency. There could be a trade or two that they're involved in as well. They're going to be active. They're certainly going to be active.
So, when it comes to the draft, I said this, and I really want an echo chamber. I brought them up to you before, but I'm afraid that they will not trade up for Henry Ruggs, and I think that would be a big mistake. I think if they sat and go, well, whoever's there when we pick is fine, will suffice, I think that's a mistake.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I want Ruggs. I want that speed. He's not just a lightning guy, lightning fast guy. He is, but he's also got great hands. He's a great route runner. But I want the best for Wentz right now. If you're going to put all the stock in a Wentz, you get him the best.
Well, I mean, they're not afraid, obviously, of targeting a guy and moving up for him. But it had to be careful, too, about mortgaging too much of their other picks, the future for moving up. If let's say Ruggs does go, and who knows, maybe some other team loves him and thinks that he'll go 10, now we're talking about 11 spots, and that's a lot. So you have to be careful. I mean, if he drops into the team, then I agree with you. You got to be willing to kind of make that move, unless they have another guy that they love. I mean, I know you love Ruggs, but Maybe they love John Jefferson and he falls to them. Maybe,
see, that's,
you know,
my fear. Them. Like, I don't trust them all the way. There's the guys I just think they've missed on. I think I'm not in love with their drafts. I mean, I really am not. I mean, are you?
Well, yeah. I mean, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is. It was funny. I was just watching some film of Andre Dillard for the story I did earlier this week, just about his readiness for next year. And there was one play. Remember the Seahawks game, and he was at right tackle, and he really struggled in that game.
Yes.
There was one time where he just fell flat on his butt, and Carson got sacked or had to throw the ball away. But as I watched it over and over, as he was taking his vertical step, he ran into J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was running, kind of a motion, and fell. And it was like, I don't think anybody noticed. If you had to really kind of see it on the All-22 to realize it was J.J. who made him fall because he didn't run the motion correctly. And there were other plays. Like, remember the one time Dallas Goedert made a phenomenal catch? I think it was against the Dolphins. Maybe it was against I forget who it was. And the only reason why he needed to make this phenomenal catch because Wentz's pass was there was because J.J. Arcega-Whiteside ran into him running his route. And I just see a lot of that stuff from this kid. It's just like, I don't know how Stanford graduates make these kind of mental errors. I understand it's a rookie. There's a lot going on. And I remember for weeks we heard that he could only play one of the wide receiver positions.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm getting off track here. But like,
keep going. This is great stuff.
Right, I'm just questioning, how that could happen, how someone could get drafted in the second round versus all the other receivers that they had the opportunity to take. Now, look, I don't want to write JJ off. He has a skill set that can be utilized in the NFL, but he's got a lot. He's got to make leaps. He's got to make a huge leap this next offseason and going into next year. And, and because of him, the Eagles are kind of a little bit in this predicament. I know there's other issues with Alshon and Deshaun and decisions that they made there and Nelson Aguilar. But if J.J. had really kind of stepped in there and performed, let's say, like D.K. Metcalf, you're not worrying as much about the wide receiver position. And now you have to.
Yeah, and that's something that you're dead right about. And I wonder how in the world could you possibly have – like this draft pick is mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. Sometimes I wonder, listen, it's all great to own a team, but sometimes you need to let the other guys kind of, do your work for you. The guys you pay, right. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, look, we knew going into, Parrish Campbell was a guy that a lot of us had identified, and even Metcalf, just in terms of, these are upside guys with speed and explosion and physicality. And I know J.J. has some height, but even when the pick was made, I think a lot of people were just like, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, like, really?
Yeah.
Does this address a need, or does this guy have the upside that you want out of that position? And now they're going to have to get that guy. Now, does that force them to push it too, or maybe a guy that you don't know as much about because you say, oh, well, he can at least fly? I don't know. So, the evaluation, or at least the decision-making that's been going on with the draft at times has been curious. And in that one, as I reported, there was division. There was certainly division within the hierarchy of that draft room over J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sometimes it's mind-boggling to me. What about I'm curious about running back and Jordan Howard. Do you think he's back?
My guess is that he'll have other opportunities elsewhere, and that he'll certainly take them because he's looking at the situation with the Eagles and Miles Sanders, and he's not going to get the amount of touches that he's probably going to want. So my guess is that he goes.
What do you do? Do you just go sign another kind of bit back, bit play? Did you like the – I mean, because at the end, Sanders kind of took over the everyday role, so I don't know that you're necessarily going to go complete, thunder lightning. I think it's pretty much – Sanders, it's Miles, and then it's like your complimentary backs.
Exactly. Exactly. You're going to want someone maybe for more short yardage. Maybe don't get him beat up. It's not that Miles can't do that, but maybe you want someone, as you said, to compliment a little more. You'll have Boston back. I think Boston showed enough that he can make the 53 next season as well. I know there's been some talk about LeSean McCoy, but maybe. But I feel like he knows the offense, he can do that stuff. But I don't know if he's the complimentary back that you want to Miles Sanders. But Miles Sanders going to year two. You're going to see. Now I wouldn't call him a workhorse running back, but you're going to see a guy that's going to get the majority of the reps at that position. Something that you haven't really seen out of the running back position since Doug Peterson's been here.
Do you anything with? Do you think with Malcolm?
No, still in standstill, which kind of makes me wonder where the Eagles stand. Now look, Howie's got a lot of stuff on his plate that he has to get to, and Malcolm, as we know, is under contract for another year. But a decision really has to be made before the new year league starts on the 18th, because if you're not going to give Malcolm the contract extension, then you're basically setting it in motion for him to, if you're going to play chicken with him, you're setting in motion that he'll hold out, and you don't want to get to that. So if you decided that you aren't going to get an extension, then you have to be resigned to the fact that you're going to either trade him or release him. And I think a trade would probably be difficult, maybe possible, but difficult. And if you release him, I think the Eagles would want to do him a solid and release him before the start of the agency.
Right.
So something is, look, there's plenty of time here, but from last I heard, nothing. They didn't, Howie didn't meet with their agents, Malcolm's agents at Indy, which is typically par for the course. I don't know if that means that they're not interested in restructuring him. But the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking.
All right. This is just you. I just want your opinion. We're talking to Jeff McClain, the best. Inquirer.com. Read him. He's one of the greatest people out there. Would you move one of the tight ends, especially if you're facing the opportunity where you could get the stud receiver of your choice in the draft and also help you kind of bolster what you got, would you move one of your tight ends?
I know that there's kind of like a sentiment that should or may even actually happen. I wrote a story about this just a couple weeks ago with Zach, and how the Eagles tried to get him extended in November and he declined. But at the same time, I think he does want to get something, or he's willing to get something done this offseason. It may behoove the Eagles to do it soon, because George Kittle is going to get paid. And yeah, right now, the tight end contract, the highest paid tight end on a per year salary basis is Jimmy Graham, which is like $10 million, which is like ridiculous. That Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, George Kittle, these guys deserve to get paid more than that. And it's going to be a lot of money when Kittle gets his contract extension, maybe even as much as $15 million a year. So why not, if you're the Eagles, get ahead of that a little bit? There aren't many teams that pay tight ends. So let's say, they're both under contract for two more years, Ertz and Goddard. Are you going to extend both of them? And they're both going to get paid. You're going to have to pay Dallas. We're
exactly
seeing it's becoming. The only time that's ever happened in the NFL, it was with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. And as I wrote and figured out last week, no NFL team, at least as far back as the NFL merger in 1970, has had two tight ends lead their team in receiving like the Eagles did last year. Now, injuries at the receiver position and the lack of talent at the position has something to do with that. But that just tells you about where the Eagles are going. They're going in almost uncharted territories here if they are going to keep both tight ends. So to answer your question, I would consider it. I would certainly consider it. You can, Zach Ertz is an elite tight end. But I will say this, Howie just doesn't typically get rid of his homegrown talent that are, Ertz is just turning 30. He's still in the prime of his career. I think he's going to be in the prime of his career for another 3 years. He doesn't take a lot of hits. You can build an offense around two tight ends, and especially if you have a wide receiver that can take the top off, the lid of a defense. You're really opening a lot for those two guys underneath. The Eagles love their 11 personnel. I don't know. It's a tough question. I don't know. I don't know.
I know. I would. I'm going to be honest with you, and I love Ertz. And I'm trading them. And again, it's all predicated if I can get you know, fair value, like good value. I mean, I'm not going to give him away.
You can't trade him now, in my estimation, because you don't know what you're going to do with our receiver. Like, if you're going to gamble and you say you're still there's still a risk in expecting some rookie to come in or wide receiver. Unless you're going to sign some free agent wide receiver.
Agreed.
So it had to be Amari Cooper. It had to be Amari Cooper or someone like that, right?
Well, I do need two receivers, right? Like, so, you know, but here's my rationale. I can't run. I know they're like 12 personnel, but my quarterback needs 11 personnel. I mean, you know, I give block a tight end in there at times, and I still have my pass catching guy, but I need to go attack down the field. And I love Ertz to death. I do. And I don't want it. Like, I'm not going, oh, I'm going to trade him. But fiscally, I mean, that's your only. Look around this team financially. You screwed up the Alshon Jeffrey thing 7 ways from Sunday, right? Screwed that whole thing up. You got issues at cornerback. You know, you got to figure out where your luxury is and where you can make some, you know, get some of your chips back in play. And to me, that's tight end, because I go Goddard, and I think Goddard's every bit as good as Ertz. I go Goddard, and I'm not falling off the cliff, and I'm good money wise.
Yeah, I think that may be more of a decision, more of a
next
offseason, because again, you're just not in a position now to roll that kind of dice, especially when your best. I mean, he's your best receiver. He's been your leading receiver the last 4 years. And to all of a sudden just depart with him would be a really bold move. And I don't know if I trust Eagles' evaluations at the other spots to trust him on that.
Yeah, I hear you. I know. Well, maybe if you and I are in charge, I'm just trying to bail him out. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I understand what you're. No, I mean, I think it's a valid question,
because we would have had Dalvin Cook in here. We had a lot of different guys that we would have hit on.
Straight up for Christian McCaffrey and not taking Derek Barnett. But
yeah, no, I get you, brother. Jeff, I love you, man. Have a great weekend, and we always appreciate your time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.